Dub CNN, what's happening, man? It's Hitman at your service, man, telling y'all to act more lighter for the 2006, man, and beyond. Yeah. Hey, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm chilling, What's going on with you?
Oh, man, just listening to some songs. We're about to finish mixing down.
Oh, for real? You working on something new?
Yeah, well, me and my partner, Stuntman, we form a group called the Constructicons. About to put out something real soon.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about that later on. But first, I want to talk like about the past, because I got like hell fans that sending questions for this interview about the past you had on Aftermath. Is that cool if we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's all good. All
right, for sure. So, like 7 years since we last heard from you, like on the 2001 album. I mean, what happened since then?
What happened? I left Aftermath in like 2001, like in October. I was trying to get my own situations. I was signed to Scott Storch's manager, Hustler Foundation, like in 2003. But none of that stuff panned out the way I wanted it to. Like with me, if I don't have my creativity, I don't care what the situation is. I'll back up out of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then for most of the time, that's what it was. Like I didn't have my creative control. So okay. At times, man, I had situations on the table, but then they ended up falling through. So I didn't roll with none of that.
Okay. But everything was kept pretty secret, because on the outside, like the fans didn't like really hear anything. What went on with you?
Oh yeah. Well, shit. Nobody in that Aftermath era knew what happened. You know what I'm saying? But that's my name is Hitman, man. By the time they see me, it's too late. Like I said, like after I left Aftermath, I was basically for a minute I went into just into a shell, man, just trying to find what I was gonna do next, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when I found what I was gonna do, me and my boy L.A. Jackson of Hustler Foundation, we was gonna put out some things since he had Scott Storch in pocket, but then that fell through. So shoot, now we're at this point. So
okay.
So and I'm about to put out a lot of things like starting the summer. It's just going to be a flurry of new music, you know what I'm saying?
But, I mean, how did you eat all these years? Like, did you, like, steady record
Well, my publishing was, as you know, I'm on, like, me and Dre is probably on the Dr. Dre 2001 album the most. So my publishing has held me down this far, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Publishing checks here and there. And I'll write for people here and there. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to write for a couple of people now, which I'm going to keep under wraps at the moment, but it's going to be a surprise, man, when people hear what it is.
Okay, yeah, I think Ben Ball, he told us that you were writing for Ice Cube.
That was something I was considering at the time, but he already had his writers, and he was cool with that, so that was something that ended up passing on.
Okay, so all this time there was, like, no financial problems for you?
It was definitely struggle, you know what I'm saying, but... Shoot, we survivors, man. I'm a make ends meet regardless.
Okay.
But for the most part, yeah, publishing has held me down thus far. In those tight spots, like I said, I'll write something here and just sell it straight out, you know what I'm saying, where my name ain't nowhere on it.
Yeah. So you are still active in the music industry, just not visible. Is that how you would explain it?
Well, yeah, for the most part. I'm about to be real visible soon, though.
Okay. I mean, what's crazy to me is, like, we only heard, like, on the Dre album, but people, your fans still got love for you after all these years with no real album out. Do you feel, like, the loyalty coming from the fans?
Oh, yeah, man. The fans is what made me, in my darkest times, the fans is what kept me going. Like, everywhere, like, in the industry, as far as how industry people was acting, I wasn't really getting my respect or love, you know what I'm saying? But when I would be on the streets, it was nothing but love. So I began to think it was a conspiracy against me. I wouldn't know why, but I felt like they was trying to hold me down. Like they said, the music I was making, they didn't like in the industry. But whenever I played it on the world, they went ape shit, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. Okay. It made me look for more independent avenues opposed to major labels, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the fans, man... I love my fans, man, and I'm going to bless them real soon, man. You can also check for, like, the Hitmanic Versus Volume 1, man. That's out.
Right.
just to let people know the things I was working on at the time, you know what I'm saying? But that's just to whet people's appetite for this next phase that's coming, you know?
All right, that Humanic Verse, that's basically the murder weapon, isn't it?
Well, nah, things on the murder weapon was like me rhyming over other people's instrumentals and stuff.
I mean, that was like a demo song with a couple of those songs that came out.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Is that the Aftermath album that was supposed to come out?
Yeah, that was some of the songs, ideas, and demos and shit like that. That was scheduled to come out. Some songs was close to done on there.
Okay.
A lot of it was them songs in its early stages.
But it wasn't like the exact version that was planned to come out on Aftermath.
Half of it was, and half of it no. It was shit verses that needed to be added and things like that. Every time I play it for people, they go crazy over it.
Yeah,
might as well put it out.
But I mean, as far as your loyalty, do you sometimes wish that the same loyalty was shown to you from Aftermath?
Definitely, I totally wish I would have seen that type of loyalty. Because the energy I put into 2001, when I was working on my album, I didn't feel like I got that same energy back. And that's where the conflict came, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. And especially with you being one of the first ones to be signed to the label. Since like 98.
Yeah, 98, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I think I came a little bit after Eminem, so I definitely didn't feel like I got the same energy back, mm-hmm. So
right.
That was a problem.
But I mean, at the same time, are you surprised at all by all the love you still get when your fans could have moved on to the next stuff coming out?
That just let me know the industry sucks, you know? The artists they put out is garbage, man. And the fans know real hip-hop when they see it, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I have to come and bless my fans, because they have been loyal for so long. Like you said, they could have easily went to a million other artists, but they still check for me.
Yeah, right.
Because as far as this new West Coast, I know I'm the blueprint writer. If I'm not the one, I am the prototype, you know what I'm saying?
Still, though, why didn't we hear, like, too much from you anymore after the album came out? I mean, there was a crazy buzz and a lot of potential behind you. Why didn't you, like, take advantage of it?
Everything just got shut down. Like, see, it's a different era now. 50 made everything where you move on your own. But when I was at Aftermath, I had to clear everything with the hierarchy, you know what I'm saying? And I'd be like, yo, I want to do this radio show. Yo, I want to... And since I was on Dre's album, he was like, nah, let me introduce you. And it never happened, so... Everything I wanted to do basically got stifled. And once that album blew up, you know what I'm saying, Dre was in high demand, so everybody else wanted him. So he wanted to take advantage of the Mary J's, you know, do production with all those other people.
Yeah.
So I kind of got left in the dust, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Plus me and my, it's a group called Sai Ra. It's a kid named Taz in the group. He was part of this production company, Big Yacht, him and his, one of my other boys, Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, we was at odds, so the part that they were supposed to handle, we couldn't see eye to eye musically either, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that caused conflict as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of chaos, man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Getting young and learning the business, you know, it ain't no blueprint to it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the crazy
thing, take advantage of what you don't know.
And the fans outside, the people, they don't really see what's going on behind the scenes. They only hear the music, but there's so much going on behind the scenes, and they don't really see that, so that's probably like...
Well, it's funny you say that. Like, a lot of the questions you're asking me, my album, I'm working on two albums. One is called Brian Bailey, Big Hit, The Last Days of Brian Bailey, and that's an album, everything, things that I was going through before I got to Aftermath. Then after that, I'm going to release Hit the Big Score, and it's everything that happened after the Aftermath album blew up, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
A lot of the songs I'm making is going to answer all those questions, like in a creative landscape, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Actually,
picture.
Those two titles, they sound familiar. Wasn't the album supposed to call it Hit Big
Song? Yeah, that was the album.
Right.
It was Big Hit, The Last Days of Brian Bailey.
Right.
But the music I started making didn't fit that concept, so I changed it to Hit Big Score, which is still going to be that, you know what I'm saying? I haven't... Because all my albums are concept albums, so they got to stick to the script. But now I just got a million more things to talk about on the album. I had good stuff then, but now I got pounds of shit.
Yeah. But do you sometimes regret that you didn't grind harder with so much potential behind you to capitalize off, like do more feature or mixtapes, like after you left Aftermath?
Well, let me see. Yes or no, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, man, the mixtape era, it was always big in New York, but on the West Coast, if you want to be big on a mixtape in the West Coast, you got Rhyme on DJ Clue or all that. Like, the mixtape game is not really big on the West Coast like that.
Yeah, that's right.
But that was one reason. That's why Game got so big. But he went to Clue and K-Slay, and he didn't go to the local L.A. DJs because it ain't the same movement, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And with me, I was just strictly trying to keep up with the Good Doctor and make sure my shit was coming out so I could... I didn't really care about the mixtape as much, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I really could care less.
Mm-hmm.
I was more focused on getting my album done. Like, I didn't even really want to go on the Up and Smoke tour. I wanted to go on half of it, come back home, finish my album, and by the time they got back, I would be ready, you know what I'm saying?
But that didn't work out?
Not that way. Nah.
For me, as far as after you left the label, you could, like, you know, as far as features here and there,
just once I left the label, man, I was so burnt out. I wasn't even feeling the rap shit no more. Like, at least probably a good year and a half, you know.
Okay.
And then, like, by when I started feeling again, that's when I hooked up with my boy L.A. Jackson.
Okay.
So we was doing our thing, you know what I'm saying? I had a meeting at Def Jam, and shit just didn't go good, man. Like, I felt like some fucking American Idol. Like, I had to do an audition type thing, and I felt insulted by the whole interview, you know what I'm saying? Like half the guys y'all gonna have up in here, man, they ain't got 8 million sold under their belt. Not saying I helped sell that record by myself, but you know, I'm a big part of that record.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I should have to come in there like on some audition shit.
Yeah.
I let that get the best of me, so the whole Def Jam thing fell through. That's right before Jay-Z got there, though.
Uh-huh.
It was right when they was going through their transition. Probably would have been different if Jay was there.
Being all over the 2001 album to not even being alive. You know?
Oh, yeah. A lot of it had to do with me. If it can't be my way, it just can't be, man. Like, that's the type of hip-hop head. I'm from an era where, you know what I'm saying, it's all or nothing. Some dudes rap, it's their little side deal. Some dudes are cool with kissing ass and sucking dick. I'm not with that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too nice for it. So if it can't be the way I want to do it, it just can't be. And nobody, everything people was putting on the table, that shit just didn't sound good to me. So I just told everybody to walk with it, man.
Yeah. You just see
me in the crowd every once in a while. And whoever, that motherfucker they think is so great, I take the mic from him and eat him. You know what I'm saying? That's what makes me Hitman. I lurk in the shadows, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Do you think your background is going to help you in the future? Like, or are you going to have to start from scratch and build the whole bus?
I approach this shit like I'm a new artist. It's good that people know who I am, but the music I'm doing is new. The subject matter is new. Because you got to realize, half of my songs that was on Dre's album was from my 95 rap book. The shit that I was on at the present was flying over everybody's head at Aftermath. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always at least 5 years of everybody regardless. At least 5 years.
Right.
But like Act Right, I wrote that in 95. Bang Bang, my rhyme from there, that's like 96.
Oh, for
real? All those was old rhymes to me then. But that's the shit people was understanding, so I'm like, fuck it, yeah, rock with that. But the shit that I'm on, it's like, I'm light years ahead of that shit.
Yeah, so that's like 10 years from now.
Yeah, yeah, like Act Right is an 11-year-old song now.
Yeah. As far as your position on the album, people compare your position on 2001 to Snoop's contribution to the Chronic and possibly Bishop Lamont's to on Detox. Is that comparison balanced out to you?
In a sense, I don't know how Bishop Lamont. We don't know how that'll pan out, but Snoop was more of a character, and the difference is like the same energy that Snoop put into the Chronic, he got back on Doggy Style. That was the difference, you know what I'm saying? I didn't get that energy back to do my album. So, you know what I'm saying? So we won't know. And until we see Bishop Lamont, I can't really say.
But I mean, mainly the
as far as my input in the album, yeah, I see it as definitely a balance. But Snoop is more of a character. I'm more of an MC. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Not saying that Snoop don't rock the house, because he do. I see Snoop anywhere, and he kills shit.
Yeah.
But he was a character. He got the ill voice and say all the catchphrases. I was more of a corrupt type person, but I had Snoop's. I had Snoop's. Fucking damn, I can't think of the word. I had Snoop's visibility with Corrupt's aura. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was a mixture of both of those dudes on just for the 2001 album.
Okay, so you're trying to say that you hope to get the same recognition with what Snoop got with Doggy Style?
Oh, it would be great, man. But I really just want to make my own name in a similar way.
Okay. But I mean, nowadays it seems that there's no pressure anymore. What is it like when you compare it to the time, say, when the Forgot About Dre video started getting airplay? There was like a heavy buzz and pressure from now to then.
For me, at that point, I was full speed ahead, man. But like, I'd say like 2 days after that video, 3 days after the video debuted, my grandmother passed away. I had joy and pain at one time. I was dealing with family issues and success of that album and getting into beef in the street. It was like a snowball of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't the music shit. I didn't feel no pressure. I felt like couldn't nobody fuck with me at the time. I still don't feel like they can. So on the music end, I didn't feel pressure. But it was just other things going on in my life where it was like pulling me away from the spotlight. You know what I'm saying?
Was it hard to progress and step your game up from working with like a perfectionist like Dre to getting dropped and doing like stuff independently again?
Okay. There wasn't really no drop off to me. Like, I was used to the perfectionist like Dre because the crew I came from, man, we was on the same regiment. You know what I'm saying? So okay. There wasn't really no drop off to me. Like, if anything, I learned a million things from Dre that only added to my repertoire. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely wasn't a difference to me. It was just like I said, man, the industry, I just wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling how they was moving. I don't like the formula. Like, yo, okay, this is your song for the hood. This is your song for the girls. Oh, this is your song about your homie. I don't like that shit. Like, and if you look at any album that come out on a major label, it's usually that structure. It's the shit pubbing your name up. The next shit is about your girl or girl. Next shit is about your crew. I don't fuck with that format, so. And I wouldn't say it was pressure. It was just a conflict of ideas, if anything, you know?
Right. So when people ask you why the album never came out, is there, like, even one real reason, or is there, like, just too many to name?
It was just me and Dre saw different creatively, so he's the boss, you know what I'm saying? If it ain't to his liking, it ain't gonna come out.
So was it, like, mainly Dre, or was it, like, Jimmy about Jimmy, too?
Well, he would tell me it was Jimmy, but I see him as the boss, you know what I'm saying? So I felt like if the buck stopped with Dre, if he was feeling it, it definitely would have came out.
Okay, so to him the record wasn't good enough.
Yeah, he just wasn't liking the content of the song.
Okay.
I guess he wanted to go. I'll give you an example. Like, you know, Rakim was going through the same thing. You know, Rakim is a legend.
Yeah.
I'm nowhere on Rakim's page. You know what I'm saying? But he went through the same problems I went through. So.
Yeah.
A lot of people was looking at me like, oh, well, what's up with you, you know? But then when it happened to Rakim, and then, you know, Busta, is taking him this long to come out with his album.
Yeah, right, right.
It's just, you know, sometimes you don't see eye to eye. Working on Dre's album, we had a ball, man, and me and Dre was like eye to eye. But working on my project, I wanted to go somewhere else with it. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't feeling that direction. So it made where, you know, any idea he threw at me, I wasn't willing to listen to it because I didn't feel like he was listening to none of my ideas, you know?
Yeah.
So it just made us both stubborn. Like, all right, fuck it. I ain't going to fuck with it then.
But, I mean, at what point did you know your album wasn't going to get shelved?
Shit, I never knew it. I was pushing until the end. I'm a person, man. Until the buzzer ring, I'm shooting.
Uh-huh.
And until they pulled the plug on it, shit, I always thought it was going to come out. But I actually heard it, like, from a third party, which pissed me off. You know, somebody I introduced to the crew, a cousin of mine, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
He told me, and then I had to go find out third and second hand, and I was angered by that shit.
Yeah. Okay, I feel you. I mean, that's basically what happened to King T's album, too.
Yes.
I mean, everything was finished, and I think even had, like, a release date and everything. So do you see similarities between your situation and his?
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely similar. I don't know why that happens, but I definitely see the similarity.
I think his situation was they got a lower rating in the source. at least from what I heard.
And see, and that's my thing, like, the type of rap hip-hop fan I am, man, I don't give a fuck what no magazine say, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The people in that studio is feeling it, and we go outside and you at the stoplight and people's like, yo, what are you playing? Then it's good to me. I don't care about a record rating or none of that shit, you know what I'm saying? Some of the best artists you'll ever run into, man. None of that shit. So
right.
It's more of a politic game than it is talent, man.
Yeah, that's probably the reason, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of politics involved, and I don't really play that game too well. So,
Do you regret signing to Aftermath in the first place? I mean, most artists.
Oh no, that was a great learning experience. That's like a law student going to Yale or some shit. You know what I'm saying? I learned a great deal. I gained a lot of allies in Snoop, Nate, Corrupt. Those are my boys. The cats I went on tour with, like, that shit is golden. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That alone, I always have respect for Dre because he gave me that opportunity. Well, I didn't even think I was the type of artist Dre would mess with. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think, until I heard the Firm album, I didn't think he would deal with my caliber of an artist. And so, but when I got there, shit, Dre's a hip-hop head just like I am. Like, when we talk about old school shit, we love all the same shit.
Yeah.
So it became easier once I figured him out. But that was for his album. When it got to my album, some of the turns I wanted to make, he just wasn't with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, at that time...
Articulated good enough, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. But at that time, why didn't you sign to another major? I'm sure you had a lot of offers.
Well, shit, Aftermath had to sign off on my walking papers, and they didn't really sign off for a long time, like, to where labels wasn't even checking for me by the time they did sign off on it.
Uh-huh.
It had taken so long, you know what I'm saying? Because if they would have signed off, I would have easily got a deal. So,
okay.
I definitely think they put some difficulty into the game.
And then later on, a couple years later, we saw the game come out as a new hope for the West. I mean, what was different for him? I mean, what are some of the things that worked out for him that didn't work out for you?
I think the great thing that was, he was able to jump. I didn't have a G-Unit to jump to. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have that. It was 50 taking game, like, yo, we gonna put this shit out. And that's what got the game out. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have that outlet.
So that's probably the difference.
Yeah, totally.
So you think if he didn't have G-Unit, he would have got dropped?
I think, yeah, he'd still be going through the same shit that I went through. I'm almost sure of it.
Okay. But speaking of game, can we expect to see y'all get down on some shit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, we know a lot of the same mutual people, so it's just a matter of time.
Okay.
And then connecting with them and coming with some outlandish concept, not just rhyming over a beat, you know what I'm saying? When I get with a high caliber artist, I like to bring something like a phone tap, like a, you know, just some ill type of concept song.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to just be rhyming. It's already known that we both can rhyme, so
yeah.
It just has to be something crazy.
Yeah.
Hopefully something like that will pop up on Detox. You never know.
Yeah, hopefully. What is, like, your relationship with Dre now?
Shit, far as I know, we cool. I haven't talked to him since he was, like, mixing down the Massacre album. That's probably a year ago. A busy dude, you know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, there were like rumors that you was gonna ghostwrite for the Detox album. Is like any truth in that?
Yeah, it's a possibility. Like, I know he's on and off. Like, my boy Mailman holler at Bishop Lamont here and there. And they was talking about some things, so it's definitely all possible. You know what I'm saying?
But there's no specific work that's been done yet so far.
No, not. I mean, there's things written. Like, when he was first laying down the groundwork for it, we kicked concepts back and forth, so I wrote the songs full out, but he hasn't heard the finished songs yet, no. He heard the first lyrics I was writing, and then.
Okay.
So when he hollered, those would probably be the first songs I kicked to him.
Okay, but is it a possibility that we can expect to see you on there?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
And hear you spit, or just like write, ghost write, or can we expect to hear you on there too?
Shit, it depends on when you work with when he's working on the album. It just depends. It may just be writing. I may kick a rhyme, and he wanted to be on one of his songs. It totally depends. Working with Dre, yeah, things just come about in the weirdest way.
All right, so you mentioned the plans for the future. Can you like let us know what we can expect as far as the albums you got coming out or any mixtapes or?
Well, mixtapes, I don't know in general, but I'm gonna be jumping on a lot of them starting in the summer. I'm working on, like I said, my one album, Blind Bailey, the big hit, The Last Days of Blind Bailey, and Hit the Big Score. I'm working on those simultaneously. And I'm in a group called the Constructicons with me and my man Stuntman. That's some shit we got coming. We got the single. This single is coming out soon called Sexual, and the B-side is Okie Doke. I'm working with producers people don't know. Only producer people really know of is Mailman. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I got a couple of Ninth Wonder beats. I got a couple of Scott Storch beats, actually.
Mm.
One, I got to make sure that it's clear nobody got it yet, but
yeah.
That's a banger for sure.
Okay.
And everybody else is like people up and coming. Like my man Stuntman do beats as well. This kid named T-House. I got a lot of people that's fired. That it's about to be a whole new West, man.
But when you compare back to working with Ray now with new producers, what's like another level, like, since it's independent now? Like being on a major and like being independent as far as the recording process goes?
Every producer I know, they work totally different. They all got their own different things that they do, you know what I'm saying? I don't see no comparisons at all.
Okay.
It's just more free, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of my dopest rhymes, man, that shit come on the whim. It's not always that concentrated, structured shit, you know what I'm saying? That's the only thing I think is different. It's a lot more free. Like, this shit, I can do anything I think about doing, and it comes out, and, like, most of my songs come about from freestyling. I go in there and freestyle. Find the hook, you know what I'm saying, and the songs get structured around that. Then if I hear a style that's dope enough, I'll write to that concept, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what the difference is now.
How come you decide to, like, stay away for seven, I mean, you didn't decide, but you stay away for 7 years and then drop two albums at the same time?
Well, I'm dropping more, like I said, we got the Constructicons album. Me and Mailman is in a group called The Man. We're working on an album called The Man Act. That's why, because I've been away so long, I'm about to just come like a tsunami, man, and just drown everybody.
Okay, so...
They can't escape me, you know what I'm saying?
All right. Are you going for the same vibe as your last album as far as the sound goes, or what's, like, the sound going to be on there?
Nah, it's just some new shit, man. That's all I can say. It's nothing I can really put my finger on that sounds like it. It's just good music, period. I know people's going to feel it. I don't know. If it happens, it does. But, you know, either way, it's going to be hot regardless.
All right, sure. When you were writing for the 2001 album, did you, like, hear any songs that got scrapped that later ended up on other people's albums?
Did I feel songs that got... Yo, it was many songs that got scrapped. They didn't get scrapped. They just got put to the side.
Uh-huh.
The songs that were incredible. Like, oh, my God. Ever make an album of all the shit he never released, people will be pulverized, like, oh shit, be like a 5-disc CD or something, just kill the whole scene. Yeah, he got so many of those, man.
Yeah.
I think one day he probably will release all that shit and people is gonna go crazy.
The original Watcher remix, or just the original Watcher song with you on there?
Oh yeah, that was me on the bridge, yeah, no doubt.
That was
for the murderous rhyme for that too. I may put it on a different beat.
There's also, like, a unreleased version of What's the Difference, right? With you on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wrote that too.
It was a song called Blau that I wanted on the album over What's the Difference.
Oh, okay.
We was having debates, so I'm like, man, take my verse off of that shit then. I don't like What's the Difference.
Okay.
Like, you sure? Like, the verse is hot. Like, man, take my shit off. That's how much I like the other song better.
Right.
So it gave Exhibit an opportunity to shine.
Did you have, like, any personal memories, like, with Rakim while being on Aftermath, like freestyle sessions or whatever?
Oh, no. I met him a couple of times, and we kicked it, like, backstage when Truth Hurts was performing one time.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't really get to vibe and do no songs together. I hate that didn't happen. That's one of my regrets.
Yeah.
Because I definitely wanted to get some shit with him.
We was thinking
about on the Sound Bombing album to get a song produced by Dre with me, Dre, G-Rap, and Rakim. But That shit never went down, but I know it would have killed everything.
Yeah. UNF Tone made a tightest combo, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Turner's a great, great hook writer, man. Like, yeah. While I was writing my hooks and singing on my hooks, I learned a lot from him and Devin, man. Yeah. Enhanced my hook writing, you know what I'm saying?
How did I even come about that you got so many spots on the album?
Shit, it was just me in the studio all the time, and everything I was hitting, Dre happened to like. So it just ended up on the album. I was just there every damn day. By the time we was like at the fifth song, I knew it was going to be huge. Plus, it was a West Coast comeback album. It was the first time Dre and Snoop had did anything since he had left Death Row, you know what I'm saying? So that alone was a selling point. Then it got Eminem, who was like the new rap phenomenon at the time. You know what I'm saying? Then it got me, a whole different look for the West, as well as the whole supporting cast from the old Chronic. So you can't lose with that combination.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be big.
Right, right. You said you didn't regret like signing to Aftermath because there's a lot of things that you learn. Is like anything that pops to your mind, like a valuable lesson that you learn, like in the whole hip-hop game?
Yeah, just seeing how the whole thing runs, you know. Somebody of Dre's caliber, he's going to automatically go to MTV, and everywhere he go, it's a spectacle, and you know what I'm saying? You can't buy that anywhere, so just to see all that was great.
Yeah.
I totally cherish those opportunities, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. Shit, I think that's basically it. Is there anything else you want to say or tell your fans?
Oh, yeah. I just want to tell the fans, man, good looking out for checking for a nigga for 7 years, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm about to lace y'all, man, with a whole lot of new shit. But keep your eyes open, man. You can check on MySpace real soon. New songs will be popping up on there just to give people a taste. It is. You can look up. It's on MySpace Music under Hitman.
Oh, okay.
HITTMAN. And check for all type of mixtapes as well, man.